Lord, for this wonderful day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that ministry has already went forth, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for the saints that are in the house, dear Lord, ready to receive your word on today, dear Lord. We thank you for the excitement of expectation, dear Jesus, that everyone arrived with on this day, dear Lord. And we thank you for an opportunity to sup together once again. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, as the word continues to minister within him, dear Lord, that you have spiritual ears to hear it, dear Jesus, and that we receive it in the manner that it was given to him, dear Lord. Let us continue to be excited. Let us to continue to allow your spirit to fill our cup on this day, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. We bless you on this day. We ask, dear Lord, that you continue to speak through our pastors, dear Lord, and Pastor Sandy in this word on today, dear Lord. And we all rejoice with you together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thomas, you late again. Oh yeah? Okay, all the children and teenagers, you may exit the room. Your teacher is in the back. If you're a teenager in love, you may leave. I wasn't talking to anybody in particular.
Okay.
That's my couple. I love them. I'm always joking with them. I like to see people in love. They need to grow in it, but I like to see people in love. Nothing wrong. Everybody's looking at me like, all right, are we ready? All right, praise the Lord. Elohim Tov.
Tov has been.
You guys, man, I shouldn't have went to that football game. I realized people can really get excited about things. I had this great dream, right? And I have to tell you the dream. Before we get started, I knew it was a rapture. I knew I was gone. I knew I was in heaven. But when we all arrived, it was someone announced, "You have been separated from Earth. Welcome." Right. So we were all there, and I kept noticing I had family members there, but I didn't just feel close to them. I felt close to everybody. And Lord was, I was, and it was like the Lord knew how I felt. And he was like, there's no real like, you guys remember each other from Earth and you remember who your family is, but there, God is the father of everybody. So we all feel like one big family. And so there was this feeling of brotherhood and sisterhood with everybody, not just with Paris or Drea. It was like everybody felt like relatives, you know? And when I woke up, I was like, you know, thank you, Lord, because I've been, you know how you want a rapture dream? And I was like, thank you, Lord. The Lord said, I've already spoken about what's about to happen. And my people should know that I've already spoken about what's about to happen. Okay. This should not be a secret to the world. Okay. It shouldn't be to the world of Christians, born again believers. This whole thing should not be a secret. Okay. The times that we're living in should not be a secret. And even though we're looking at probably one of the most craziest times in the history of the world, God wants you to know he already planned this. 1948 was already planned. You understand? All of these things and dates have already been planned. So what's about to happen is going to happen, whether you believe it or not, okay? And we need to... My question to the Lord was, Everybody's excited. Is everybody excited? And his answer to me is, some are unaware. They're not excited. When they get here, they're excited. Some are unaware, okay? Meaning that life has got them in a position where they can't get excited about this, but when it happens, they'll be excited, okay? But it was beautiful to me that everybody, God was the only father, and everybody was connected to God. It wasn't like we felt connected to family members. We all felt connected to God, and that made us all close. And anyway, it was a beautiful dream. And so the Lord wanted me to really talk about people's expectations of about what's going on, because we have Christians right now that are on different pages, okay? We have some that are saying a great revival is coming, and I don't know. Mom, don't you make that face. She may. But some people are looking for the great revival, you know, and the mega church is going to be back and the whole thing. And so people are asking me to get involved with their doctrine of preaching the revival. Like, well, what if the rapture doesn't happen? Then, you know, then maybe God wants us all to just join together and have a great revival. And I'm like, you're not on God's page. You're on another page. It's like you need to flip over to the page of what God is doing now, not what you hope God is doing, or not what someone else told you God is doing. Okay? So I want you guys to know, you can't, and it's very dangerous to just start preaching and teaching something that you're not aware of, whether it's true or not, that you haven't studied, or that you haven't even been called by God to preach or to teach, okay? Because it's very dangerous. I was reading this past week, even Job had to pray for his friends at the end of his whole episode. He had to pray. God said, you need to pray for them, because he said, when they spoke to you, they spoke words that I didn't say. And so it said, Job prayed for them and God relented for his judgment over them. But he was about to jack them up because they went to Job like, I got a word from the Lord. You know, I want to tell you something. And what they told Job was not what God said, right? Or not what God was, what was on God's heart. But they felt like, you know, the God moved me, to, you know, because I see your situation. I think I know what to say, but I'm going to say God said it. Yep. So therefore, you may receive it. Mm. And so you have to be, God will confirm things to you. If you're walking in line with God, God will confirm things to you.
Yeah.
If you're not walking in line, God will sometimes bring somebody to bring a word. If you are walking in line, look for confirmation. Don't look for new stuff. So understand that you can't just go to people and just give them a word because that's the way you feel, okay? And the Lord said, like, that is what's going on right now. Everybody, some people are stressed out. We have people calling me this week, and I've called other people. And they're like, well, if nothing happens by such and such, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm like, really? And if nothing happens by such and such, this is what I'm going to do. And if we don't get raptured by such and such, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm like, wow, these people have alternative plans. I'm like, either you're in or you're out. Either you're with God, either you're with his plan, either you're for God or you're not. I never get in a relationship, and like some of the older people understand, and hold on to my black book, you know? It's like, these are my ex-girlfriends. I'm in a relationship with you, but I'm holding on to this just in case we don't work out, you know? And so some people enter into a relationship with God like that, right? They have a contingency plan just in case. And with what's about to happen, There is no contingency plan. I don't have a contingency plan. I know what day, I know what hour we're living in. But I want to read something to you, because I want you to learn this through scripture, that God does not want us to start jumping on our own plan, okay? Let's go to Jeremiah. And I believe we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 21 first. Let me see here. Yes. Okay, now listen to this. Jeremiah had prophesied to Israel that you guys have been disobedient to God. And because you've been disobedient to God, God is about to bring judgment on the whole land. And matter of fact, he's bringing Nebuchadnezzar into the land. He's going to destroy this land, and he's going to take us all out and take us to Babylon, right? Now, he said, and when you get there, we will be there and we will serve Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. And everyone is going to be, all nations are going to serve under Nebuchadnezzar, right? So when the king heard Jeremiah prophesied this, he, like all the Jews back then, when they heard a prophecy they didn't want to hear, what would they do? Kill the prophet, right? You know what I mean? Thank you very much, kill him. But, so let me just show you what happened here, okay? So, in 26, I'll start in verse 20. It says, now Uriah, the son of Shimei, from Keroth, Jarim, was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord. He prophesied the same thing against the city and this land as Jeremiah did. When Jehoiakim and all of the officials heard the word, the king sought to put him to death. But Uriah heard of it and fled in fear to Egypt, okay? And it says, but King Jehoiakim, however, sent some men there to grab him and bring him back, and then they killed him. But now, let me tell you why he went to Egypt. And a lot of people went to Egypt. They heard that the Babylonians were coming, and they were going to capture them, and they were going to bring them to Babylon and bring them into slavery. So since they heard this, some of the people started talking about, let's go back to Egypt. And because if we go back there, Egypt's a strong nation, they'll be able to protect us, and we'll offer ourselves as slaves to them. This is where this black Israel is, they use this. Oh, that we went to Egypt, America. No. Okay, so they decided we're going to go back to Egypt, and we're going to offer ourselves as slaves there. And once we're working as slaves there, then, but God warned them, if you run from what I'm telling you, because what I'm telling you is you're going into slavery under Babylon. You're going to serve Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. If, he warns them, if you try to leave and go back to Egypt, you will be mistreated there and you will die there, and there'll be no blessing for you there, right? So he's letting them know, I already told you what's going to happen. You're going to Babylon and you're going to serve there. Put yourself under his rulership for 70 years. Some of the Jews decided, no, we don't want to go to Babylon. Let's go to Egypt. Okay? And there they were mistreated. And then the people's like, we don't want you as slaves. We remember the last time Jews were here as slaves and it didn't turn out well. So they kicked them out the land and they mistreated them there, right? But God told them not to. But that was their contingency plan. You understand? That was what they felt. If we do this, we'll be safe, okay? Now, P- Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Now I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 8. It says, however, if any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with the sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, or your sorcery, or your sorcerers, who tell you, you will not serve the king of Babylon. So God is warning them. I've already told you what's going to happen to you. If anyone comes to you with another message telling you you're not going to do this, rebuke them and say, you have not spoken for God. To be a false prophet, you have to speak the opposite of what God speaks. Okay? God says, only way to salvation is Jesus. And you say, oh no, there's many ways to salvation. That made Oprah a false prophet that day. Because as soon as you start speaking against God's word, you become a false prophet. That's what a false prophet is. So let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 28. Because I gave this scripture to these people. They have a whole big group and they're having a meeting. And people are signing up for the meeting so they can go to this big conference or thing of that we're going to all pray. And we're going to bring revival back to America. And not only America, all around the world, Christians are going to gain power. And who ever heard of the Seven Mountains Theory? Seven Mountains Theory is if when the church takes over the banking system, the entertainment system, and all financial matters of the world, then and only then can Jesus return. It's called the Seven Mountains Theory. It's one of the things that one minister was preaching that had a plane crash, and I mean, people told him this is not from God. Then one of the other people that is a part of this said 2 weeks ago in a message, the reason Jesus is not coming back is because you people aren't tithing enough. Because they're on this brain thing that this is our hustle and we got to find a way to keep it going, okay? If people are excited about the rapture, the hustle's gone. Yeah. So they're signing up for this big revival, okay? And we're going to get the church back in order so we can bring back Jesus. Mm. And they sent it to me so I could sign up. So obviously I wasn't with it. So I said, you guys need to read Jeremiah chapter 28 because God has not sent you guys. And so here, let's read it. It says, in the fifth month of the same year, the fourth year earlier in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to the place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiakim, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Is that what God was telling them? Is that what God was telling them? God said, you're all going to Babylon and you're going to be there for 70 years. Serve Nebuchadnezzar. So why is it so easy for this person to say, The Lord has spoken. I too am a prophet. What did Jesus say? Many will come in that day saying that I am, people say the Christ, but it says anointed, because the word Christ means anointed. Not many people will come saying I'm Christ, Jesus, because you might say prove it. But many people are going to come saying I'm anointed.
Yep.
Listen to the words that I say, because this is what God's real plan is. And so the whole thing was, Pastor Sandy, if there's no rapture, we need to have a contingency plan. And so here it is. I don't go into relationships like that. I don't have a black book. God has already given me his plan. God has already given me his message. And God has told me to tell people to be prepared. And it's not long from now that it'll be proven, so I don't have to sweat it. But I want to tell you something. There's no contingency plan. God has already spoken what's about to happen. And if you don't tell God's people what's really about to happen, and they think that they're about to go into revival, they're preparing. They're like, I might as well take the shot. Right. Because if we're still going to be here, you know, I might as well do this. I might as well do that, right? But if that's not God's plan and you're leading somebody down a wrong road with the wrong plan because you're saying God said, okay? Because the person that sent this said, I was going to be quiet, but the Lord has led me the other way. So I'm like, okay. Now, let's continue reading this. It says, then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, amen. Now, you know, Jeremiah knew the truth. So he's like this. Amen. Okay. Because he knows the truth. He says, amen. He says, may the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disasters, plagues against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized only, will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of Jeremiah and broke it. And he said before all the people, this is what the Lord has said. In the same way I have broken this yoke, the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, off the neck of the nation within 2 years. At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. I love Jeremiah, because Jeremiah's like, this is senseless to argue with. All right, I'll see you later. He walks away, because you can't argue with people if that's what they feel like, that's what the Lord told them, right? Now, as we get into this study today, you will find out for the rapture not to happen, we got to reverse history. We got to take Israel out of the land all over again. We got to make the 1967 war happen all over again. We have to make all the Jubilees happen all over again. We have to do a lot of history. We have to make 1917, 1967, and 2017 disappear. There's so much that we would have to do to get off of God's plan. We would have to basically rewrite the Bible. But the Bible has already told you where we would be at this point of time in the history of man. And we are here. And so God is wanting to know, when I come, am I going to find my people in faith? Am I going to find them still believing in me? And someone said, well, listen to this, you guys. Someone said, I can't believe you told those people, because this was what God told me. He said, that thing that's in their arm is a tracker. And when the rapture happens, they're going to come looking for all of those. Okay? And he said, but those who have accepted Christ, that were deceived into taking that poison, he says, no one will be there, only that piece of steel that was in their shoulder laying on the ground.
Right.
Because they will be in heaven. Someone was angry at me. How dare you say that people took the shot can still go to heaven? So my thing was, okay, if someone comes in here and they say, well, I'm a nurse, and thank you, I've heard the gospel for the first time, I'd like to accept Jesus Christ, but I want you to know that like 3 weeks ago I took the shot because my pastor told me and my job told me that I had to take it or else I couldn't stay there. And so I took it, but I want to accept Christ. I said, should I tell this young lady, I'm sorry, you can't accept Christ now. It's too late for you. You know, because, I mean, if you came to me and heard the gospel before you took the shot, you could accept Christ. But now you've taken the mark, and therefore you can't accept Christ now. So, see, this is the type of foolishness that fanatics get into when they start getting on this thing and listening to everybody, okay? Tell them what God has said. God has said this is the mark, and if anybody has taken it, they're done. I say, if you die and you're a Christian and you have it, I'm sorry you got there too early, but we told you not to take it, right? And when you get to heaven, they'll go, welcome to heaven. Why did you take it, right? So, but I'm not going to exit someone's salvation because they've been deceived by doing this. Now, most Christians have not. We've done enough exemption forms to know that most Christians have not. Let me stop talking and finish this Bible study. All right, here we go. It says, shortly after that, the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place, you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the neck of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. And I will even give him control over the wild animals. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. You have persuaded this nation to trust a lie. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year, you are going to die because you have prophesied rebellion against the Lord. In the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died. And it's incredible how they still call him the prophet,
yeah.
Even in the Hebrew. Because when your lie costs other people salvation, you're responsible for it. That's why God says not many people should take on this role. Don't take on the role of being a teacher. God sent me. Don't be so fast to say, oh, that sister ain't living right, so I'm going to go tell her, thus said the Lord, and I'll say God sent me. And maybe God didn't tell you that. Maybe God told you to use some of your finances to help her until she get out the situation. Not to go judge her about her lifestyle, but to show her love so she can accept Christ. Maybe that's what God is saying.
Right.
But because you feel that this is what God wants to tell you, you can't go jumping telling people, God said this, God said this. Amen. Very careful about that, because it's very dangerous. It's like somebody saying, like, okay, Deborah, like, you know how you feel about some things, right? Now, if I go, you see me, and I'm speaking to someone, and I'm saying something that you would never say. And I'm saying, I was just talking to Deborah yesterday, and Deborah said, you know, she would rather live in Watts than live in Beverly Hills, right? And then you're like, Deborah's like, I never said that.
No way.
Right, okay. Thus said Deborah, right? So I'm a Deborah false prophet, right?
Right.
So God is saying it's the same thing with me. If I didn't say it, you can't say it, because you didn't hear me say that and you didn't hear me confirm that.
Amen.
God said to say that to simplify it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. And the Lord told me this morning, there's only one eternal prophecy in the Bible, and the rapture is not it. Meaning that it has a timeline that it has to happen. You understand? The 1,000-year millennium has a timeline. It's over with 1,000 years. The Israel coming back into the nation had a timeline of 2,520 years. It had a timeline. All prophecies have a timeline. So you can't preach rapture forever because it's on a timeline. Who put it on a timeline? Jesus did. Listen to this. In chapter 24, verse 32, we read here, it says, now learn the lesson, or learn this lesson from the fig tree. And ask, I'm sorry, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near, or Ketz is near, the end is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until you see all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So Jesus is saying, when you see the fig tree happen, when you watch it occur, know for absolute sure that this generation will not pass till all these things happen. What did he mean, all these things? Until you see World War I, World War II, the beginning of the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, and me coming on a cloud, all these things will happen within the generation of the fig tree. Who's he talking about as the fig tree? We could sit all day, all night, and I will just go through fig tree after fig tree reference in the scripture that tells you that Israel is the fig tree, and that the fig tree left, and that the fig tree is going to return. Psalms chapter 48:13 says, when you see this happen, in the Hebrew, it says, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. Go and tell it to the terminal, final generation. So the scriptures are telling you, this has been the history, and this is what is about to happen. So all of this stuff is happening right before us, and either we're going to tell the people of God to prepare yourself, because something incredible is about to happen in the earth. And you want to be with Jesus when it happens.
Amen.
You don't want to be playing Christian when it happens. What's going to happen, Pastor Sandy? Two are going to be in one place. One's going to be taken to be with God as a friend and companion. And one's going to be divorced and left here on earth to go through 7 years of tribulation. That is the Bible. I'm saying what God spoke, so I'm not in trouble.
Right.
And then now I'm telling you, God started me off in this ministry by saying, I'm going to show you 6,000 years in the Bible. And we go through the Bible year by year by year by year. And when we end it, he said, tell me when it ends and what year you're on. And when I calculated, it said 2017 will be the end of 6,000 years. And when it happened, I said, wow. Then God takes me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. And it says the word 1,006 times in chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. He said, I put that there. I almost fell over in the office. I said, you put 6,000 in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, to let everyone know that 6,000 year would be 2017? Yes. And what do you know that will happen in the 120th Jubilee? What has to happen in every 120th Jubilee? In every Jubilee, it has to happen. Jerusalem has to be declared that it belongs to Israel. It happened in 1917, it happened in 1967, and it happened in 2017. So God's like, see, even Trump did this because I made him do it so that you'll know that you're in perfect timing. So this is not something we have to erase and go back over. God has already brought me through to show me you've got to warn the people to be prepared and to be ready to go. Because I don't think it's going to be that much longer at all. Especially the way these demons are acting in the White House. I don't think it's going to be that. And you think we got it bad. Some of the other nations are going through way more than we are. And now I just heard yesterday that if in California they're about to pass, if we don't have a card or something, that we can't go to restaurants, stores, movie theaters, all this stuff, you can't go. So the whole world has come under a system that's not just controlling us here, but all over the world. And people are preaching church revival and reset. The other thing is the reset. No, there's going to be a reset. And people need to know about Bitcoin. And I'm like, get out of here. Who sent you? You got to invest in Bitcoin because when the reset happens, I'm like, what's reset? Are they going to give everybody a certain amount of money? Yeah, in the tribulation. I'm not planning to be here for that. I'm trying to tell people what's about to happen now, okay? So that they're ready to go. Amen. Let's please go to Psalms chapter 90. I'm not just going to read the part about 70 years, or it could be 80, because I know that. What we need to know is this chapter about Israel? Because if Psalms 90, verse 10, through the end is Israel, then that means that the 70 plus to the 80 is talking directly about Israel. That means it's talking directly to the fig tree. Okay? So, if we know that every 70-year generation prophecy came true in the Bible, and only one 70-year prophecy did not come true, and that was Israel in what, 2018 or 2019? Because they had been there 70 years. So therefore, everything that Christ spoke should have been over if it was a 70-year prophecy. But this one, this prophecy tells us, no, it's going to be 80. And so be prepared. Now, we'll understand verse 10, but I want to read the rest to see if it's Israel talking to God. It said, the length of our days are 70 years or 80. If we have, I'm going to read it properly, but by arrogance and pride, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. Okay? Because it says the length of their days is 70 years or 80, but by arrogance and pride in the Hebrew. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? This is Israel talking to God. For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deed be shown to your servant, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord rest upon us, establish work of our hands for us, yet establish the work of our hands. So this is Israel talking to God, asking him, I know you just said it would be 70 and it's going to be 80, but when we enter into it, you're saying it's going to be because of our arrogance and our pride, and that time will pass away and will be taken. But they're asking God, relent of the judgment that you're going to bring upon us. What's judgment? The tribulation is for that nation to finally get back to the place where they say Yeshua, who was crucified in our land, is our Messiah. So they're asking God to relent from his wrath, relent from his anger. And so the 70 plus the 80, or the 70 turning into 80, is a prophecy directly to Israel, which leads us to Yom Kippur 2028, which means now, for that date to change, we've got to erase all of history because it's solid. We'd have to erase all of history so that 2028 on Yom Kippur is not the end of the tribulation. We'd have to erase 1948, 1967, 2017. We'd have to go back and erase the time that they went into Babylon. We'd have to erase so much proof that it would be absolutely crazy. So we need to know and understand what time and what day we're living in, so that false prophets don't give us false hope. Amen. And we need to realize that everyone who has put their trust in God in the face of danger has come out on top. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Everyone who has put their faith in God in time of trouble has come out on top. And so, what is my contingency plan? To put all my faith in God.
Amen.
That's my contingency plan. My contingency plan is to put all my faith in what God has shown me since 2004. I only have one plan. I'm leaving suddenly one day. That's my plan. We're gonna raise your rent. I'm leaving suddenly one day. You know what I mean? You're going to get the shot in December. I'll be gone. We need to understand we can trust God. Yeah. The whole Bible is about trusting God in times of fear. And if you can't trust God, you don't have a contingency plan for the giant.
Right.
You don't have a contingency plan for him. He's already shown you what he can do. Mm-hmm. I can take your job. I can close your business. When we leave, they're going to starve people.
Yes.
You know, famine is part of the thing. When we leave, they're going to starve people. There's other people that, because they don't want to take the mark, will choose to scavenge and try to get whatever they can to eat. Barack Obama put it into a thing when he was in that at a time that the government can remove all vegetation or fruit trees from anyone's backyard without their permission.
Yep.
So they're making, see, this is my thing. It's like, Satan is like, you know, I'm getting ready for the tribulation. And like, really, Satan, you're getting ready? Yeah, so I bought like these guillotines so that we could chop people's heads off. And I made laws and rules that we can do to people when the tribulation comes. And I, you know, Satan's like planning. He says, why are you planning all this? He says, I believe the Bible.
Yep.
It's the only reason why he's doing it. If he knew that there wasn't going to be a time for him to rule, he wouldn't have a 666 plan.
That's right.
But he knows there's a time for him that he's going to get his 7 years.
Yep.
Like the Illuminati guy told me, the little Freemason told me, we waiting on the rapture too.
Yep. 10 minutes, Pastor.
So we have to understand and know, okay? What's about to happen? You know, and I keep saying what's about to happen, and I'm talking soon. What's about to happen was already prophesied and already spoken by God, okay? It's up to God's people to take ear to it and make sure we're ready, okay? Now, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 2, since Pastor Man said I got 10 minutes. Do I got? Ooh. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is that it? Here we go. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our being gathered to him. We ask you, brethren, not to be become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come, or some prophecy report that says that God changed his mind about the rapture, we're going to have a revival. Don't believe it, right? It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until there is a departure. And the Greek word means only to depart or defect. Apostasia is not a religious word that means walk away from your religion. Until a defection or departure comes, even then the Antichrist will be revealed. So before the Antichrist can come, there must be a departure or a defection. So why would they use the word defection? Only way you can defect is if you're a part of a war and you said, and someone pulled you out of the war before the war's over. That's the only way you can defect. But apostasia means defection or departing. Okay? So the Antichrist will come, but he can't come until when? Until there is a departure occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Now, you know that you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. And it's amazing. The Holy Spirit is holding him back.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is holding him back. And the Holy Spirit is what has to take you to heaven.
Yes.
You can't get to heaven without Eleazar.
Amen.
Without the helper, you can't get to heaven. So when he leaves, we're leaving. And then the Antichrist will be revealed. Okay? So the scripture, if you stick to studying and knowing the scriptures, you won't start teaching people the opposite of what God has already said and get yourself in trouble. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, and then we'll finish up. Revelation chapter 4. Simplest thing in the world for people to understand, okay? Chapter 1 through chapter 3 talks about what? Seven churches. Chapter 4, after God tells John to come up here, for the rest of the Bible, until chapter 19, you don't hear anything about the church, okay? So obviously in chapter 4, someone hears a voice or a trumpet that says what? Come up here. Here it is. It says, after I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this, after the church. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne. How many thrones? It was not God and Jesus on one side. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. There was one throne. When you get there, you will discover, wow, God and Jesus sitting on the same throne. And they look like one person. So understand, when we get there, there's a person sitting on a throne. Here, how much time I got, Pastor Ben? Okay. He said, and the one there who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald. Encircled the throne, surrounding the throne was 24 elders, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns on their head. Do you know what? You guys got to read about Solomon, right? Or David, when he set up the 24 courts because he for the coronation service. Okay, remember, these 24 people, elders sitting and having crowns on their head, means soon as you get there and you see the throne, somebody is there to acknowledge him and to acknowledge that he's king. Yes. And who is that? The seven candlesticks. The seven churches are there to acknowledge that Jesus, or God, our Savior, who sits on the throne, is king. Yeah. Therefore, David becomes king for 7 years and 6 months, right? Yeah. So now he's king. We throw our crowns at his feet. We declare. So the first thing you get to, when you get to heaven, is you're going to see a crowning service. Because first we're going to acknowledge that he's king. Then you may get the banquet, okay? Then you may get the Bema seat judgment, where, okay, you did this, you did that, and, you know, we'll, and oh, this you did with a bad heart, we're going to burn that up, but you get stuff for this. Whatever's going to happen in heaven when we get there, we know that in Revelation chapter 4, the church is now in heaven. Two people shall be in one place, one will be taking the other one left. If the church is in heaven and the people got left, where are they at? On earth, with who? The person who just became the Antichrist, who is going to become real nice once we leave. And he's going to say, you know, you can take off your mask. And matter of fact, we're going to reset the economy. We're going to give everybody a certain amount of money. We're going to get rid of all wars and everything. Because Daniel says he's going to take control through flattery.
Yeah.
He's not coming to like, I'm just going to be mean to everybody. No, he's going to gain your trust. And so all these people talking about, what about the reset? And what about, you go right ahead. Because that's how the Antichrist is coming, okay? When he offers a peace treaty, it's going to be a peace treaty. Yeah. It's going to look like he's there for your good. But things will turn real fast. He might even get rid of O'Biden for you. And you go, wow, he got rid of O'Biden and the Clintons. He's a good guy. be careful, because if the church ain't here, that means something's wrong.
Yep.
Okay? God's plan is already written. The 120th year already happened. And I apologize to you because I thought in the 120 years when the flood, the trouble began in the earth, that the ark trip would be a cruise. And we'd just be in the, we'd be at the banquet lounge and, you know, Jack will be singing in the lounge. And I thought, you know, okay, once the flood started on the ark, we're just going to be well taken care of and there'll be no fear. Until I read the book of Jasher, and it's like Noah and his whole family were scared to death.
Yeah.
They were like, God, are we going to die too? And God had to come and calm them down.
Yeah.
You don't have to take the shot. Don't worry. You're not going to need your job in a week anyway. Relax. Right? God had to calm them down. And we're going through the same thing. So Jesus was right again. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Nobody's on this boat at the banquet. I mean, at the buffet lounge, right? And nobody's watching entertainment in the lounge. Everybody's fearful. Everybody's thinking what's going to happen next. But God's going to come and calm it down.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear him speak, come off the boat. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.